Knowing God's will. How important is that? Would you say somewhat important? Very important? Okay, could we say maybe it's one of the most important things? John 5:13-15. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence which we have before him, that what? If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we've asked from him. So is that quite a bit of confidence? But that's not the whole story in that text. Oftentimes in the Bible, we have to let the Bible explain itself. And this text is, I think, better explained by, well, first, how do we know his will? Do you know? Now, if you want to take notes, there are 8 things I'm going to be presenting to you from the Bible. I had some questions myself. That's one of the reasons I'm speaking about this. I wanted to know, how can we know God's will? So I started looking through the Bible, and I found 8 things. So these are not my words. Hopefully you'll see from Scripture how we can know God's will. The offering of Isaac, Genesis 22:1-2. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham? And he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountains of which I tell you. Now if you heard somebody telling you to sacrifice your son or your daughter, or your mother or your father, would you think that was God? Who would you think it was? Maybe he said, get thee behind me, Satan. But for some reason, Abraham could recognize this, the word of God. And he knew it was God speaking to him. There was no question. But have you ever heard of David Berkowitz, the son of Sam? A serial killer in New York City, and voices told him to kill. Was that God? Do you know? Interestingly enough, as I got on the internet, I looked, and this is what I found. I found a whole bunch of them. These are all things I found in different sites. Murder of a woman. Suspect said what? Voice told me to kill her. An appeal of a man who claimed voices in his head told him to kill his housemaid was yesterday adjourned to summon a third medical examiner. A 16-year-old handyman heard voices in his head telling him to kill a young mom as she cleaned the house she was working in. Can you tell what country that was? Great Britain. The teenager who bludgeoned his 25-year-old victim with a chisel said the voices instructed him to follow her downstairs and kill her on the first floor. A teenager in Gardai told Gardai that he heard voices in his head telling him to kill his best friend, a count heard yesterday. And it goes on and on and on. How important is it to know God's will? Very, very important. Thank you. In fact, it's so important that there may be little else that's more important. How do we know it's God's voice? That's the question we're going to ask today. How do you know if it's God's voice? The Bible says, number one, pray. Colossians 1:9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with what? Knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Should we be praying for that? Number one, the Bible says you want to understand God's will, or you want to pray for others to understand God's will. It's something that you can do and you can expect will happen. Matthew 21:21-23, and Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith, do not doubt. You will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' it will happen." Read the following lines, please. Ask in prayer, believing, and you'll receive all things. Now, I hinted before that one text doesn't tell us everything. Does that mean that everything I want, if I ask for it, I'm going to get? I would kind of like to have a Porsche 911. If I pray to God earnestly and I believe, will one appear in my driveway? Can I expect that? Well, according to this text, you might interpret it that way, right? But if we take the whole Bible and read it, you might read the next text. John 5:14. This is a confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything, what? According to His will, He hears it. How important is it to know God's will? Wow. If we pray asking God for God's will, He hears us. If it's His will. So when you pray for things, it might be important to have a sense of God's will. He hears us. Most of our prayers, however, are what? And I got to admit, that's one of the problems I have sometimes after our prayer sessions. You know what we're all asking for? Basically, we're asking for our will to be done, right? My father is sick, so what do I want? I want him to get well. My mother has got cancer and is going to die in 2 weeks. What do I want? I want her to get well. I've been sick with a fever for the last 3 days. What do I want? I want the fever to be gone and I want to get well. Exactly. And so most of our prayers, are they God's will? And so this is the realization I've come to. Now, when I'm standing up front listening to people request prayers, I have no problem saying, "God, please heal this person," or "God, please help this person to get better or get well." I don't have any problem but asking that. But I think there's something better I can ask for. You know what that might be? I might ask for His will to be done. Let's suppose my father, he has already had melanoma once, but let's suppose it reoccurred and he was given 3 weeks to live. My dad has a Bible study at his house every Thursday night. In that Thursday night Bible study, he has in his home anywhere from 14 to 32 people. Most of the time it averages over 20. And you know that half the people in his home are not Adventists? Every week. He goes and preaches in a church like he did last week. There's less people sitting in the congregation than are coming to his home. Now, you might think it's God's will he'd not die in 2 weeks. But do you know? There was a man in Scripture who was going to die. He prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and God answered his prayer. But the Bible is clear, it wasn't the best. If my father were to pass away, and because of his passing away, 15 or 20 people would be in the kingdom because of that, would it be better? I don't know. I know I want my father to live as you want your relatives to live and be well. But the best thing I can think of doing if I kneel down is say, "God, my father is sick. I've been not feeling well, but I leave myself in your hands because I know if you perform your will, that would be best." Do you know that? But oh, we fight against it sometimes because most of our prayers are our will. John 8:31-33. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed in him, you continue what? In my word. Then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will what? Know the truth. By doing what? Continue in my word. So if you want to know God's will, number one is pray. What's number two? Know and follow his word. The promise is you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. Number three, be willing to do what he says. John 7:17. If anyone is willing to do his will, he will what? Know the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak of myself. Are there many people today claiming that they have the word of God? All you got to do is turn your TV on, particularly on a Sunday, and you'll see a lot of different men on the radio, on TV, saying they have the word of God. If anyone is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching, whether I speak of God, whether it is of God or whether I speak of myself. Are you willing to do what he wants you to do? Have you dealt with that in your life? Does it conflict with what you want? When I was at Andrews University studying in the seminary, I had the chance to study with a young man, Steve Wallace. We spent a lot of time in the E.G. White vault, and he once said something to me I'll never forget. He said, you know, when I really, really want something, I suspect it. When I really, really want something, I suspected. Those are the things that I take to God. Do you do that? If anyone is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching. Number four, your relationship with God. Genesis 5:24. Enoch what? And he was not, for God took him. Genesis 6:9, for these are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah what? Walked with God. You want to know what God's will? You think walking with him might make a difference? Walk with God. Number five, become as a little child. Luke 10:21. At that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden the things from the wise. You have what? Hidden the things from the wise and intelligent. And of what? Revealed them to what? Infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. You want to know God's will? What do you have to become? Like a child. God has hidden things from the wise, but he's revealed them to infants. Become as a child. Does that make sense? But is it everything about a child? We in Sabbath school class today, I was picturing something I shared with the group. About like Adam and Eve trying to cover themselves with fig leaves. Can you imagine a little child just barely able to speak, just barely able to walk? Mom says, don't touch that cookie jar. And a couple hours later, she comes back in the kitchen, and there's a little boy sitting there. He's got cookie crumbs all over his face. And she says, did you eat those cookies? And he says, no. Kind of funny, but there are certain things in the Bible that we need to become as a child, and we study those. You may find them out, but there's more. Number six, yet be what? Mature. Hebrews 5:13 through 14. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So in one respect, the Bible says, you want to know my will? You got to become as a child. But another aspect, according to God's word, you have to be mature. You have to have practice. And this is one of the most powerful things to me personally. I've been experiencing some things with God lately that have been opening up my heart to him. And I find that as I practice those things, more is revealed to me. Like today in the Sabbath school class, I saw things I'd never seen before. Things I didn't even have time to share with my Sabbath school class. But it's like, wow, if you're practicing as an infant, he's going to be opening his heart to you, and you will know more, and you will become mature. Number six, yet be mature. Number seven, by how you treat others. Now, this is a long text, so I've got it on more than one screen. So let's read it together. Isaiah 58. And all of Isaiah 58 is great, but I picked out just the things that most apply to our topic. You might want to go back and read the whole chapter, because all of it applies and all of it is rich. Isaiah 58:1. Cry loudly, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they what? They seek me day by day and delight to know my ways. They're in church here every week. They put a big fat thing in the offering. Why? They're always shaking hands with people at the door. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. We're so glad they're here. Yet they seek me day by day and delight to know my ways. As a nation that has done what? And has not forsaken the ordinance of their God, they ask me for just decisions. They what? They delight in the nearness of God. Praise the Lord. But, verse 3, why have we fasted and you do not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? Behold, on the day of your fast, you what? You find your desire. Who are you doing this for? Who are you coming to church for? Who are you shaking hands at the people at the door for? Why are you putting that fat money thing in the offering? For who? Verse 5. Is it a fast like this which I choose, a day for a man to humble himself? Is it not to what? Divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house. When you see the naked, to cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh, then will what? Then your light will break out like the dawn. You know what light represents in Scripture? It's God's presence. It's also understanding, the light of truth. We say it now is best as a light bulb coming on in our head as we finally understand things. You want to understand God's will? Would you like his light in your life? Does the way you treat others have anything to do with that? Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry and he will say, here I am. And if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then what? Your light will rise like darkness and your gloom will become like midday. And the Lord will what? Continually guide you. Does the way you treat others have anything to do with knowing God's will? Can you see it in Scripture? Is it me saying this or is it the Bible? If I take my eyes off myself and I'm concerned about others, then God opens things that I didn't know I'd see. And this is one thing I'm learning. I don't have it on the screen, but this comes from me. I find that every day that I say, God, lead me, when I go into the classroom, make my words yours. And I ask him to walk with me. And I'm thinking less about myself and more about my class and more about that individual student that annoys me. The more I do that, the more things seem to be open to my mind as far as God's word and truth. Number 8, through the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:9 through 11. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear hath not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them. Through what? For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For all among men knows the thoughts of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. So, answer this question. If you want to know God's will, what's most essential? Say it. What's most essential? Do you have to have the Holy Spirit in your life? Does the Spirit have to be inside you, moving you? Boy, if you have the Spirit, you will know, because no one knows God like the Spirit. 1 Peter 1:12, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things, which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you. By what? By the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. You want to know the maximum? You know, did you understand that God has said we can know things that angels long to look at? But only through the Spirit of God. Let's review. We will know God's will with... Now, I do this with my classes to help them keep attention. Do you think it's a good thing maybe for you to say the things? Say them out loud. Number 1, how do you know God's will? Through prayer, talking with God. Number 2, no one follows word. Number 3, be willing to obey. Number 4, developing a relationship of love. Number 3. Number 6. Become as a child, yet mature. Number 7. Knowing his will is related to how you treat others. And number 8. All knowledge of his will. It sounds pretty complicated, maybe. You might say, boy, that's 8 things. I have trouble with 2. 8 things. But I found one text that kind of condenses it all. One text outlines it all, Matthew 5:8. Blessed are what? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You want to know God's will? Blessed are the pure in heart. Well, that's not me. I'll tell you right now, I'm not pure in heart. I got things running through my head I wish I could run from. Pure in heart, for they shall see God. Fortunately, of course, you can't be a pure of heart without Ezekiel 36:26. Moreover, I will give you what? And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. God has said, the pure in heart, they shall see God. But how do I get a pure heart? Can you see it on the screen? It's his gift. You want to know God's will for you this afternoon? It's a Sabbath. We should particularly want to know. We only really have to know His will on the Sabbath. Well, but maybe tomorrow. Well, I want to know His will every day. Do you? I want my life to be His and not mine. I want His Holy Spirit living in me, and I want Him to create in me a clean heart because I know how filthy mine is. Let's pray. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank You for Your great and precious promises, that through these we may become partakers of the divine nature. Father, clean our hearts. Help us to focus on others rather than ourselves. Not because we have the power to do that, but because You have a gift to give us if we'll only accept it. We pray these things in Your name. Amen.